Well, hey there, Jonathan Doyle with you for the Not Even Remotely Weekly podcast. I am going to start doing these a little bit more regularly. Voice, you know, podcasting seems to still be holding its ground. I think we're so used to images, to video, but it just seems that, you know, podcasting audio gives you a chance to listen on your terms. When you're traveling, when you're running, you know, as I've often said, I'm a huge consumer of good content. So it's winter here at the moment and it's really cold and I'm doing a huge amount of indoor cycling. So often I'll do kind of 2 hour sessions at a time, but that time is either really good content on YouTube. So I'm watching a lot of motivational stuff, a lot of teaching content, or I'm listening to audiobooks. I'm an absolute audiobook junkie. So I guess I want to encourage you, you don't have to always be on. You don't always have to be consuming content all the time. Of course you don't. Our brains are actually designed for downtime as well. Like, we need times of stillness and contemplation. And my life now is really split between those, I guess, those two modalities. I'm either pursuing silence and stillness and thinking and contemplation. So twice yesterday, I had, you know, significant moments of deep disconnection. So I went and spent about an hour and a half in a local church. I love sitting in there. It's so silent. And I just have time to read and to think with no distractions. It's a very conducive environment. When I came home yesterday, we have a beautiful home. We're right up on the side of the hill, and I got to just sit there, stare at the mountains, and have about another 30 minutes of disconnection time. So I just want to encourage you to do both, to have times of, I'm really encouraging people, times of silence, stillness, disconnection. Just times for those deeper thoughts to come up, those deeper, you know, things that you need to process, and then times of really engaging with great content. So all I want to do in this short podcast is just share with you some key insights over the last week or so. I hope they're useful to you. I post once to twice a day on Instagram. So you've heard me say this before. Please come across to Instagram, jonathan_doyle.co. jonathan_doyle.co. Because I'm posting there usually about 6 to 7 a.m. Australian time and then maybe later in the day. Now, tomorrow I'm flying back to the US. I'm going to be in New Mexico to do a keynote for a big fundraiser. Really excited about that. So if you're hearing this, come across to Instagram because that's where I'll post my sort of daily explorations as I travel. So some key reflections on the last week. The big one for me is I've been reflecting a lot on criticism. And I posted yesterday that criticism is a killer. It builds nothing. That was what I posted. The criticism builds nothing. Criticism tears things apart. Now, important distinction, criticism has its place. If you're in a formal sort of system, like, you know, if you're doing feedback on a business project and you're critiquing how the things put, how the whole project performed, you know, or you might be in some professional setting where feedback and sort of discussing where things went well and where they didn't, that's critiquing something. But I'm talking about what you and I both know, criticism, the constant, you know, that we just chip away at people. You know, sometimes you see those old couples that have been married 40 years and instead of being, you know, deeply in love and connected, they just chip away at each other day after day, that criticism. So criticism is a real killer. It leads to deep resentment. So often when someone's criticized, what's the first thing they do? Self-defense. They push back. They prove why your criticism's wrong. That leads to conflict. Sometimes people just don't even fight back. They just go to deep seething resentment. So I'm just a believer that criticism is non-functional. It's just not something that helps you become who you want to be. You know, it's not something that helps those you care about become who they need to be. So I know that we think, well, if I just, you know, they always do this and we criticize our kids or our partner or people we work with or our friends, and we think that by doing it, we're helping them to grow. I don't know if you've been observing life, but it just doesn't seem to work. It just doesn't. When we criticize people, they don't grow, they resist. So it's a bit of a cliche, but you know, we become what we do most often. So if we criticize a lot, we become critical people. It becomes like a spirit we have, like a kind of a way of being in the world. So I put my hand up. It's something that I said in the post that often when you criticize, you really... It's like, how do I say this? It's like when you're a motivated person, like if you're listening to this, you probably are, you want everybody to grow the way you're trying to grow. So we think that if we criticize and we point out where the other person isn't eating right or isn't training properly or isn't being positive or isn't reading the right books or they're watching the wrong TV shows, we think that by doing that, that will help them to grow, but we don't. We just don't do it. We sort of become hard and we get hard emotionally and it doesn't work. So I'm putting my hand up on that one. I've really held myself to a challenge to just not criticize, just to really, how do I say this delicately, to shut my big mouth and just to keep my opinions to myself at times. So if someone comes to you and said, hey, could you give me some feedback? Could you help me with this? Now that's different. I can say, sure, thank you for the privilege. Here are some things that could be helpful. So friends, criticism, it's got to go. It's just got to go. All right. If you want to be a superior person, if you want to be someone who really grows, criticism just can't be part of the mix. It's hard. It's hard. It's hard. I posted this in the Facebook group yesterday and, you know, one lady replied. She said, I find this really hard. And I said, you and me both. It is really difficult. It's really difficult to just to stop and to not do this. So that's my challenge to you, to really reflect on how critical you're being in life and to turn the volume down on criticism. Okay, a couple of other things I posted I just want to share with you. I talked about positive mental states. Now, don't we all want positive mental states? Like we kind of, you know, if we had to choose, if somebody came up to you and said, you know, would you like to feel positive most of the time? Now, we take it, right? We'd say, of course I do. Now, here's an important distinction. I once heard a philosopher say that if someone gave you a pill, offered you a pill that said you will never again feel unhappy or a negative emotion like grief or sadness or, you know, would you take it? And the idea is that an intelligent person wouldn't take it because some of our, I guess we call them negative emotions, but they're not negative like sadness or grief or regret. Those emotions give color to our lives. Now, we don't want to live in them all the time, but we don't want to just banish sort of negative or unhappy emotions. They have their place. What I'm talking about is, I think we prefer, don't we, most of the time, to be in a positive mindset. You know how you feel when you've been out and done some exercise or you've had a hot shower and a coffee and you're feeling really good, you're energized. You know that feeling, that positive state. Well, here's a couple of reflections on it. Look, some people are born that way. I've got, you know, one of my kids is just like that. My youngest is amazing. She just is the happiest, funniest, most joyful human I know. She was born that way. She didn't learn it. She didn't practice it. She's just a weird mix of genetics, environment, neurochemistry. That's who she is. And I hope for the rest of her life she'll be that way. I am not like that. It's always hilarious that people see me on stage and like, oh man, you're so motivating and inspiring. And I go, but you know what? I'm actually by nature an introvert who can tend towards depression if I don't work on it. So congratulations if you're one of those people that's always pumped and happy. But you know, often I've even met people, I can think of one person I know who's quite famous, who became a good friend, and they are the most joyful, positive person. But behind the scenes, they've also really struggled with depression. So what I want to talk about here is this whole idea of positive states. The first thing I want to say is we kind of think that they just turn up. Have you noticed that you catch yourself sometimes, you're just suddenly feeling really good, but we don't stop and ask ourselves, how did that happen? What were the ingredients that created that? We just kind of take it for granted as though it just magically dropped out of the sky. What I'm learning at the moment, what I want to teach you just quickly, is that if you want positive states, you have to realize that you have to create some of the conditions for them to happen. So if you've listened regularly, you know, I often talk about behavioral activation. It's a basic principle in acceptance commitment therapy, which is kind of rumination, which is sitting around, you know, worrying about your problems, being upset and unhappy and ruminating and obsessing lowers our emotional state, lowers our breathing patterns, lowers our physiology. But do you notice that when you get out and do stuff, when you've got a to-do list and you get out early and get the jobs done and get stuff happening and interact and your day goes quickly, that's behavioral activation, that's doing stuff. And all of this is just a way of saying that if you want positive states, please stop just thinking they're going to turn up. You have to become an active participant in your own life. My humble observation is that the vast majority of people are just letting life happen to them. They're just accepting whatever comes along. And it's fascinating. I was, you know, listening to Tony Robbins a while ago, who says he tolerates negative states for about 90 seconds. He said when he started off in life, you know, he would be down for a couple of days, you know, and then he got better and he would learn how to get himself out of a bad state, and it took him a day, and then it took him several hours, and then it took him, and this is hard, because if someone's upset you or the weather's bad or you're feeling fatigued, it's really hard to get yourself back out and move. But he learned that he could get himself out of not tolerating a negative state within 90 seconds. So I guess the question I'm framing for you is, what are you accepting as true? Are you accepting that the way things are is just how they are? Or what about the possibility that you could, by choosing specific actions, really shift your feeling states more regularly? So, I mean, today, for example, you know, I woke up probably 4 a.m., so I'm up early. First thing, my program, my morning routine has shifted a little bit lately because I've been traveling so much. But this morning, up at 4, straight out, I've got a beautiful journal, and I love nice pens. And Karen says I have the most beautiful handwriting. I'm pretty proud of that. I love beautiful handwriting. So I'm up and I write this, you know, one page. I'm writing about things that are concerning me. I'm writing about, you know, attitudes and standards that I have for the day and things I want to change. And I'm writing about spirituality. I'm full page, just getting it out of my subconscious down onto the page. Then I've had a really good coffee, then I'm hanging with my kids for a bit, then I'm on the training bike and I'm watching really good content, and then now I've had another good coffee, here I am in the studio. You see that I have put these things in place, these actions. So let me throw this to you. Are you doing that? Are you getting up each day with putting a list of things in front of you that you need to get done, that you want to do? Now, really crucial point, I'm going to start to wrap up here. But the biggest thing I keep trying to teach people is that feelings follow actions. You've got to understand that crucial principle. Feelings follow actions. So many people think, well, I'm not going to the gym because I don't feel like it, or it's cold, or you know, I don't want to, you know, take the time to cook this good meal that's healthier because I don't feel like it right now, so I'm going to get takeaway. And I keep trying to teach people, if you wait in life for the feelings to show up to do the things that you have to do, you will be waiting a long time. So, you know, actions first. Actions first. It's like when I jumped on the training bike, my brain goes, great, I got 2 hours and I've got to hold a key. I've got to hold a specific heart rate for 2 hours. Now, in that first 20 minutes or that first 10 minutes, I'm like, oh man, like it's just not very exciting. And then I stay in there and then you just keep going. So, and eventually, you know, you're suddenly done it and you feel great because that's done for the day and your body's feeling strong. You know, I do 200 or so push-ups a day. So 2 blocks of 100, 150 at a time. You know, when I sit down for that first block of 30 or 50, I'm like not excited. And then you do them and you feel strong, and you do them and you know that you're doing stuff that other people aren't doing. So my friend, are you hearing me? Actions first, feelings second. Actions first, feelings second. Okay, that's all I wanted to say in this short podcast. I'm going to keep podcasting while I'm in the US. Looking forward to it. I'm going to fly American Airlines this time. I'm normally with Qantas, but they were booked out for this one flight that I need to do. I'm going to fly into LA, and I'm going to fly across to Albuquerque, New Mexico, where I've got the great privilege of speaking at a very special fundraiser, which I'm very excited about. Going to be staying at the Sandia Resort and Casino, which is going to be really cool. And then flying, you know, just there for 48 hours. I keep doing these sort of 48-hour turnarounds, keep my body clock on Australian time. And I'm going to be back here, and then I'm going to be back in Australia, then I'm going straight back to the US. I'm going to do, where am I? Minneapolis, New York, Ohio, and then Washington for 3 events. It's going to be so cool. Very excited about that. So make sure you follow me on Facebook. Wherever you're hearing this, it may be on SoundCloud. Come and check me out at the Achievers Forum on Facebook. Go to Facebook and search for the group called the Achievers Forum. You'll find me there. You can find me on Facebook at Jonathan Doyle in my Facebook page. But please come across to Instagram, Jonathan_Doyle.co. And also, private coaching with me, 4 sessions. How good would that be? That I could work with you for 4 intense internet-based sessions anywhere in the world. I take a very small number of people. Results have been amazing. So check out the links if you can see them here. There should be somewhere to check out private coaching with me. Listen, I hope it's helpful. Life is short. You don't get another go. I love people to have awesome lives, and I want you to have an awesome life. So whatever you're facing today, take some action, press on, push yourself to the next level. Don't accept negative thoughts. Don't accept that things are just the way they are. You can really create the results you want. I'm Jonathan Doyle, going to have another podcast for you very soon.